Hey, Little Monsters.
Hey, group.
What's going on? Welcome to the Little Monsters Movie Podcast. I'm Dino.
Ted.
And we're going a little bit serious this week, man.
Way back.
Yeah, way back.
Getting the way back machine.
Yeah. The Freaks. Todd Browning's The Freaks, 1932.
Did you do your homework? Because
Circus Sideshow.
I did mine.
He's got all kinds of info, man.
Yeah. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah. His dad did clippings and all that. He's got the
works,
man.
You know what it is when I was a kid, I watched this movie at a young age. I don't remember where I came across it. We didn't have Turner Classic Movies
right
then. Which Turner Classic Movies? If you've never seen this movie, Turner Classic Movies shows it like three times a year.
Yeah,
but it's on DVD. You know, you should definitely go buy. There's an awesome documentary on it. Commentary. It's an awesome movie. We're lucky to even have it after we get done talking about.
Well, all right. Right off the bat. I mean, you could tell. I mean, just the time period. I could see back then. Even now, I guess you would never get this made. But
no, unless it was a documentary. No, I don't think you would get this movie made.
Because I think it's the movie kind of portrays itself. There's a storyline, of course.
Yeah.
But it's more. It's pretty much documenting the sideshow life and the circus life back then.
Right, and a lot of it is
and the horror
slice
movie.
Of life kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and the horror movie is great because, man, there's some awesome scenes in here.
Right.
Especially when you get towards the end there.
Yes.
You know, with all the, which we'll get into.
Right.
But the movie itself, I mean, I didn't look at the Freaks as freaks.
No.
I looked at them as the movie. And the characters themselves, which they go through really good at the beginning of the first half of the movie.
Yeah, it's a shame the movie's only 64 minutes long.
I think it was a perfect amount. I mean,
there was so much more, and I'll talk about some of the stuff that was removed.
He'll know a lot of the info.
Yeah,
but
this is one, like when we did our top 10 horror movies a couple weeks ago, this was on my list.
Yeah.
It's not a movie that modern horror fans are going to watch and say, oh, it's scary. I don't even know what movie you could actually say is scary.
Right.
But I've never actually been scared by a movie. I've been, like, disgusted. A little repulsed or something. But never scared.
Right.
But this movie is in, you know, maybe back in the 30s, you know, movies were new. Talking movies were even doubly new.
Yeah.
And something like this, there's lots of different genres of horror. This is in a subgenre of one.
Right.
There is only one movie
Exactly, yeah. This sets itself aside from all the rest.
Exactly.
I mean,
and when I was a kid, I saw this movie. I don't know if it was on a VHS tape or if it was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember watching it, and then I remember watching, you know, The Elephant Man when it was on cable.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad has always had an interest in oddities, medical oddities.
Yeah.
And we've always had a bunch of books laying around. Like, I remember we had this book. It's an old, old book. I think on Amazon you can still find a used copy, but it was called Sideshow, a photo album of human oddities. And it basically is it. It's just a photo album. I don't know if pictures probably won't show up so good on there. But, you know, you can see the cover. And, you know, this is just what I had laying around when I was a kid to look at. conjoined twins, people born without chins.
I remember.
Legs, third arms, babies growing out of their gut, guy with a second head on it, you know.
And lobster hands.
Yeah.
What's the lobster man with the claws? Kinda.
Right. Actually, in this book over here, Dino was looking at it. Another book my dad had was, it's from 1896, and it's called Anomalies and Curiosities of Medicine, written by a couple of PhDs. Really any pictures, but it's, I mean, you see how thick this is.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, the text is really small, and it's just all about different deformities, what causes them, what they knew about them back then. But on the first page, my dad had,
he actually met some.
Back like probably in the late 60s, 70s when sideshows were kind of fading out. He did actually meet a few, and he's got like their little, sorry the glare there, the little cards from some of them. A father and, too much of a glare maybe.
There you go.
But the father and daughter had like the lobster hand and feet and some little people. So kind of interesting. And then,
cool stuff.
He always collected newspaper clippings. Of different things, you know, babies born with two faces, guy that could pop his eyes out. So this is the kind of reading material I had in the John when I was a
kid. Curiosity.
An article, he must have ripped it out of a magazine at a doctor's office or something, called The Real Elephant Man. All about John Merrick, some photographs, actual photographs, studies of his bones. So I have had that.
Yeah.
And the only other book he had was one called, I don't even know if you can get this, it's just called Very Special People. The cover is just hardcover, green with like a Siamese twin in the corner. Yeah. Kind of interesting. Nothing on the cover.
Yeah,
no, text. A weird book.
Huh.
And it's just little, kind of like short chapters on people that have had deformities. Some of them are in the film that we're going to be talking about. Definitely John Merrick, Elephant Man.
I'm sure the movie itself got your father probably into it.
Yeah, I would guess. It's something. He's not a. I mean, he's in the medical profession now, but when I was growing up, he worked in. This is a steel town here in Northeast Ohio. He worked in steel, and but he was always interested. He always said that like if he'd had a chance to go to college when he was younger, he probably would have gone and been a doctor or medical professional of some sort. So I just wanted to kind of share that with you, just that, I've been kind of exposed to this at a young age, so. Yeah. But getting to the actual movie, 1932, what we had had was Dracula and Frankenstein, and horror movies were becoming very, very popular.
Yeah.
And especially with Universal, and now and Paramount had Island of Lost Souls that we covered early in our podcast history, and MGM wanted to jump on the bandwagon. So they kind of snuck Todd Browning away from Universal. And Todd, you know anything about Todd Browning? Or
You can give me a little bit of information.
A little bit of info. See, guys, I even typed up 2 pages of stuff. I know most of it, but Todd Browning, he was a famous director of silent films. And he had a lot of clout, made a lot of money in silent films. He was able to retire pretty much on his silent film money. Wow. And he worked with Lon Chaney when he finally hooked up with Lon Chaney. But his story is that he came from a pretty well-to-do family, but he always had just kind of like an obsession with sideshow life, circuses. And at the age of 16, he just ran away from home, from a well-to-do family, joined circus, and learned.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah. And that's some of the stuff I know the movie is true.
But he's got the facts, man.
I've watched this movie so many times.
Yeah.
It's a quick watch.
It is,
And watched it with my 5-year-old daughter this morning.
That's all right.
I think it's
a great movie, man.
I think these days it teaches more of a lesson than it did back then. And
really?
He learned all the tricks of the trade, firsthand. Wow. How to be a carnival barker or talker, kind of get the people in to see the sideshows. Magician acts. He was very interested in magic. Performing acts, clown, stuff like that. So he kind of learned the ins and outs and lived that life for a while.
Yeah.
His paths crossed with, if you know who D.W. Griffith is.
Oh, yeah.
Old famous film director, Birth of a Nation. Just look that one up if you don't know who he is. Yeah. And kind of learned the ropes of filmmaking from meeting him and talking with him. And got into filmmaking from there. And finally, that he got paired up with Lon Chaney and they did... Todd Browning did tons of films, but he did 10 with Lon Chaney. And some of them are very, if you look at old, famous monster magazine and stuff like that, you're going to see images of Lon Chaney from, like the sharp pointy teeth and stuff like that. And those are from Todd Browning movies. And he got the crack to do Dracula. And he never made a successful transition from silent to talking. It's funny to think that when they were starting to make talkies, that they didn't even know if it was going to catch on. Chaplin didn't want to do talkies for the longest time.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah, it's a fad. No one wants that.
And they don't want to hear our voices. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, even in the height of talkies, Chaplin still did silent movies. But he was a genius. He's allowed.
Exactly.
But...
we should go back to making silent movies. Actually, no. I think Woody Allen did one, didn't he?
Yeah. Didn't he?
I'm trying to think. And nevertheless, I
remember... Mel Brooks did.
Yeah.
Mel Brooks' silent movie.
Yeah,
I never saw it, but I know.
And it was actually kind of annoying. I would have rather have seen him talk in the words than... I know he's trying to put a spin on it, but...
Even like Jerry Lewis, the bellboy. It's a completely... He is silent in that whole movie.
Off topic, but
And
doesn't say a word.
Right. Or Mr. Bean, if you like, he barely talks.
Yeah, just music.
That's like the next closest thing I can think of. Yeah. And that's not easy to do. No. Go try it. And Todd Browning had made a movie with Lon Chaney and a small person named Harry Earl. His actual name was Kurt Schneider. He's from Germany. We'll talk about it. He's the main character in this film that we're going to be talking about here, Freaks.
Hans,
exactly.
Yeah.
And it was actually Harry Earl, small fellow, Who you also may recognize in The Wizard of Oz in the Lollipop Guild part. Right. He's the one with the devil horns on the side.
Yeah, Lollipop. Yeah, you'll recognize him.
So if you don't know who Harry Earl is, just watch Wizard of Oz. You've seen that part 1,000 times. Yes. You'll know who he is.
Yeah.
And he brought him this short story called Spurs, which you can go online and read for free. I did it last night. I'd never read the story. And really the only similarity between the movie and the short story is basically, the movie is about a small person. This all takes place in a circus, who falls in love with a normal-sized adult woman, like bareback rider.
Right.
And that's pretty
Cleopatra.
Cleopatra is her name in the film. Yeah. That's pretty much where, you know, everything that's in the middle of this movie isn't in the story. But that's right. You know, and you know, they're trying to like steal his money, and you know, she's having. We'll get into it. We'll talk about the movie. But Todd Browning really, you know, liked that idea and liked the idea. He's made circus movies before with Lon Chaney. Really liked this idea of doing another circus movie. And he had been offered like a really big budget, expensive, you know, kind of like period drama. And he said, no, I want to do this. You know, and horror movies were so popular, the studio wanted to get in on that. It was making a lot of money. So,
Artistically, he knew what he wanted to do in his head, man.
And
it
you
came
know,
out perfect.
Somehow, they let him do what he wanted to do. He made the movie he wanted to make, but then they slashed the heck out of it afterwards. Wow. But this film is going to feature real sideshow people with deformities.
Yep. Pinheads.
Yes. Bird women, human torsos, people that...
Human torso, guy who has no legs, arms.
Right.
The
half boy, they call them.
Yeah.
Small people, the human caterpillar, man with no legs, no arms, we were saying. Half man, half woman.
Yeah,
bearded
man.
Women. The skinniest man that there ever was, weighed 58 pounds.
Wow. Yeah, it's... these are real... But the thing in the movie is, I mean, they you know, like I said, you don't see them as freaks. You see them as part of the movie, part of the story. It's the story's told beautifully. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and it features the two little people, the couple Hans and Frida.
Freda,
and Frozos.
Frozo's the clown is like the Frollo Brothers Circus, something like that.
Yeah. And Venus, and they're kind of the pretty girl Venus and the straight guy kind of.
There's like a little bit of plot to the movie, and then there's all these little slices of life in between.
Exactly, that's what I was going to get.
Little tidbits that don't really have anything to do with the overall plot.
Yeah, like the first half
like
of the
each
movie,
one gets their own little showcase.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I mean, they kind of like showcase each.
Mm-hmm.
Person in their own way, like you know, the lady with no arms. They'll pan over to her. They'll say some dialogue.
Yeah,
but they're basically showing her, you know, eating with her foot,
right?
And doing. What
My daughter
she's
thought
got.
That was amazing, by the way. And I even went online on YouTube and showed her like play guitar with their feet.
Yeah,
she was actually, you know, she had no idea that you could do that.
When you're born that way, you learn to deal with it and figure it out. But yeah,
so I guess just to finish my little history lesson on the movie before we get into it, the movie only took a couple months to make, and it didn't cost that much to make, because there's no big stars in the movie at all.
Right.
And once it was done, it's like the producers looked at it and just hated it.
They
weren't sure what they had.
Yeah, they're
they test screened it.
Doing?
And it did horrible. There's an anecdote. You can read it.
People were disgusted. Yeah. Like, oh my God. How
did you read about
the
one lady who claimed that it caused her to have a miscarriage because it upset her so bad?
No.
Now, that's on all kinds of... And I got my information from, you know, apart from books, the DVD had a really good, like, hour-long documentary.
Yeah.
There's always Wikipedia. And even, like, Turner Classic Movies, if you search Freaks, there were some articles.
Oh, yeah.
And there's even... you can even read some of the reviews of the movie from when it first came out, good ones and bad ones, and just how critical, you know, this was.
Because it was so out there and so different.
Ahead of its time, different. Yeah. It was cut. They changed the ending like three different times, and it still wasn't working.
Wow.
And ended up cutting about 30 minutes of scenes out. Some of them we know kind of what they were about. Some of them we don't, but they are all completely lost and gone.
Wow.
And, you know, what we have is all we're ever going to have unless someone finds something someday. So 64 minutes, that's what they trimmed it down to from an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And this is what we were left with.
Yeah, wow. It's amazing that that much is taken out of there that we don't...
Right. Oh, and even God, then, it didn't do footage. Well. Well, some they said some markets it did well.
Yeah.
But overall, it came and it went and it fell into obscurity. It was banned in many countries, like the UK. I know we've got listeners in the UK. I guess you could call it a video nasty.
Yeah.
it was banned in the UK for 30 years. And how it finally kind of got caught back on was... in the 60s, midnight movies, the counterculture kind of thing, and it kind of caught back on that way, and it fell into, you know, greater favor. And now, even though, and the movie, by the way, pretty much ruined Todd Browning, the director's career. He really could not get much in the way of work or get the projects that he wanted to do after that, and eventually he just retired on his silent movie money. He made a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
And from what I understand, he was kind of egotistical and everything, but, you know, this movie has a lot of those tidbits that he knows from circus life, sideshow life.
You can see that.
And now the movie is, you know, like I said, it plays on Turner Classic 3 times a year at least.
Yeah.
It's on DVD, whereas, you know, you couldn't get it before. And it's on the National Film Registry as a culturally historic and important movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, you go back to 1932 when horror movies were new. This was very shocking to see these, you know, there's more freaks, more quality sideshow performers in this movie than any actual sideshow probably ever had.
Right, yeah.
They may have had, like, one really good one and the rest were all... And I was at one time, like, at a carnival.
Really?
And there was a couple of little people, and the rest was just all, like, bogus stuff. Like,
yeah, well, yeah.
And that was it.
Fake.
You know, they try to sucker you to pay, like, an extra buck, and you can go in the back room and see something. And all it was like, some kind of robot thing that wiggled its legs. It wasn't
Oh, God.
And that's classic carny stuff. They get you in that back room to look at something else to get an extra buck out of you.
Right.
And that's usually, like, where they would put, like, you know, the half man, half woman, or something like that, something lame that we'll talk about. And, it pretty much ruined his career. A lot of the people that, even the sideshow performers that performed this movie, some of them had good experiences, some of them... absolutely hated it and thought it was exploitive, and I guess that's all just like an individual choice. If you felt like you were being exploited, I guess it was exploitive.
Yeah, I mean, even today, I mean, I could see some people looking at it and thinking that.
Because my wife actually won't watch this. I've tried to like show her. She's just like no interest in watching these human oddities at all. Because she kind of feels that way. But that's not the point of the movie if you actually sit and watch it.
Right.
You know, the monsters are you and I, the regular people that are in this movie. And...
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know, and
revenge, that's all I'll say. And we'll get to that.
We get the sideshow code. And, you know, but by today's standards, you know, modern horror fans watch this and go, what's a big deal? You know, go ahead. Go find some people like this and try to get this movie made just like this. You're not going to do it.
No.
So it's a special movie with special people.
Special history.
And, you know, it's not makeup. It's not, you know, it's not David Lynch's Elephant Man with some guy in makeup. These are real people.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this movie unique and in a class all itself.
Exactly.
That's the history on Freaks. Now let's talk about the movie.
Yeah. Man, you knew a lot of information, man.
I hardly even had to look at my notes.
He memorized them.
No.
But, very cool. Yeah, I love this movie, man.
It's important. It's an important movie.
Heck yeah, man. Yeah, it did. And I don't think anything even close to it was made after it. I mean, like you said, this is one of a kind, off to the side, and you don't got anything like that, man.
And now
anymore,
it's considered, very, a historically important movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's... And I think because... Maybe at that time they couldn't understand. You know, it was all just exploiting these special people, different people.
Right.
Now we can watch it, and we're able to, empathize a little bit more, I think.
And break down the story. Which starts off.
With
the Barker.
The Barker at the circus.
Pulling the people in. And
telling them the story about this.
Brings them to the, like, this...
It's like a box. You know there's something in there, but we don't get to see it.
Yeah, he starts telling the story of...
Yeah, I mean, like, every little sideshow, has a history, most of the time made up.
Right.
But, and then it segues into the movie proper where, we're going to learn how this all happened.
Exactly.
And it's, I think it's the Rollo Brothers Circus, and we see Cleopatra...
On the trapeze.
Right. And we are introduced to Harry Earl playing Hans. Small midget, I guess you could say, if that's okay to say.
He said it in the movie. We can say it here.
Okay. Good enough for me.
Yeah.
And his fiance, Frida, in real life, they were brother and sister.
Oh.
Yeah, they come from...
See, I don't know everything. I know the movie. I love the movie, but I don't know.
His real name was Kurt Schneider. Her name was Daisy.
Okay.
And
I've seen her before on some other stuff too.
Yeah, she actually made a big name for herself. She had been in stuff, and even the other fella had, you know, like I said, Wizard of Oz and some of the Lon Chaney movies.
Yeah.
They were from Germany, a family. There were four of them that were little like that.
Huh.
And they were called like the doll family or the living dolls, and traveled around in Europe, and they were, I think, picked up by Ringling Brothers.
Okay,
kind of started doing an act there, and then transitioned over to Hollywood. But it's kind of funny because they play, you know, people that are going to get married in the movie, but they were actually brother and sister in real life.
Well, hey, and it's hard to get.
Their name was changed after the guy that kind of brought them here. To America. His last name was Earl, and that's how they got, changed their names to be a little bit more Americanized.
Okay. Yeah, but let's see. Hans is pretty much, the breakdown of the story is that he sees Cleopatra as she's a grown woman. Yeah,
and he's enamored with her. Even though his fiance is right here, he's like, she's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
And she's so understanding as Freda, the smaller...
I mean, her pickings are probably pretty slim there in the circus, you know, so it's like, I better hang on to what I've got.
but she was understanding, she kept warning him, you know, that, hey, this woman, because, I mean, the breakdown of this movie is revenge, and through the carny life and the sideshow life, so...
She notices him noticing her,
right,
and starts playing it up a little. You know, like lets her cape fall, and he picks it up,
and she wouldn't bend down,
right,
to let him. And he's like, you know, this
you
is
laughing
what,
at me,
you're laughing at me, yeah.
And I forgot exactly what she said, but she eventually, you know, bends down so that he can put it on her,
right.
And she just like blatantly like this is all like right in front of Frida, you know, like no shame at all. In what she's doing, and Frida's like a little bareback rider on a little pony, and you know, just gives her a little snot look when she rides out to go do her performance.
Yeah,
and that's kind of a little end of that beginning scene.
Yeah, all the normal people kind of in this movie look at them and they're laughing at them, and see that she's taking advantage, and they're just getting a kick out of it,
right?
You know, which is kind of lousy, but you know.
And that's how it's going to go. Yeah. And the next scene is there's a little forest area, and I think maybe the guy who owns the property and the caretaker's like, you know, there's a bunch of freaks on the property. They should, he says something like, they should smother them at birth.
There,
you know?
Oh my God, yeah.
And it's a whole menagerie of people we see.
The pinheads are there.
And the pinheads are, I've got some information here. The main one in the movie is one called Slitzy.
Slitzy, yeah.
I mean, this is a disease that they had called microcephaly. Sorry, I have to look at a few things here and there. But basically what happens is kind of like you get a tapering of the skull as it goes up.
Right.
And it gets, not to a point, but sort of.
Close to it.
And that causes the brain to be, you know, compressed, smaller.
Right.
So usually you would have a short stature, severe mental retardation. Like in this movie, Slitzy, who always wears a dress, and they treat her as a girl, but was really a man, really a male. And the reason he wore the dress is because he had terrible incontinence, and it was just easier to keep him clean that way.
Okay.
And all of these, like the pinheads here, they had like the mind of children. I mean, he had like the brain of a 3-year-old, but he loved doing what he was doing, like in the movies and stuff like that. He was so happy doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Very little's known about exactly where he was born and when he was born. Mm-hmm. He was handed off from carnival to carnival, owner to owner. But, I mean, he lived till be like almost 80 years old, I think, and, you know, performed in the circuses and the parks for people. Loved the attention. And even did, like, simple magic tricks on stage and stuff like that. What was I just going to say? But each of them had like their own little like handler that would take care of them, almost like a nurse that would take care of them on the sets.
Okay.
From what I've heard and read, that this particular person was just a joy to be around. You know, always like impish and playful, and you can even get that in the movie.
Oh, it's all there. See it. Yeah.
We also see the half boy, Johnny Eck, who was born, I forget the name of the condition he had, but basically he wore clothes to make it look like he had no bottom half.
Yeah.
And he did actually have legs and feet, but they were so diminutive and malformed.
Right.
So
basically looks like a torso because of the right. clothing and how it
So basically
it
he like walks on his hands. And I gotta say, he's probably the most striking one, I think, out of all of them. When you see him just doing that.
Oh, yeah.
And walking.
How fast he goes.
Right.
The strength he must have to be able to... Right. Climb the stairs.
He was actually kind of like a handsome guy. You look at him in the face and stuff. Yeah. And he was actually a twin. His twin brother was perfectly normal. And they even got into like magic tricks. They would do like little... I was seeing an interview or a documentary on the Freaks DVD how they would do a little... like, you know, like the sawing in half?
Yeah.
They had a little bit where like a magician would be doing the sawing in half, yeah. right? And so they were look-alike twins. They were identical twins, at least from here up.
Right.
And... his brother, the normal one, would say something like, you know, ah, it's a bunch of bunk. You can't really do it. And he'd say, well, come on up here. And Johnny Act, the half boy, would already be like in the head part.
Yeah.
And they would have, somehow they would do something with the box where, you know, when the normal brother got in, he slipped out. And another small person come in with pants that would just cover his heads. And the guy
you're giving up magic tricks, secrets.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, I'm joking. Right.
And he would do the sawing, yeah. and then when he would come up, you know, I'll pop Johnny on his hands, and like, hey, where's my legs going? And the other swamper would wave
the leg. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I wish I could say that was hilarious.
That's pretty good, man.
And yeah, they had a pretty, you know, well, a lot of these people ended up in such bad shape in the end.
My God, you know what? Here, I'm going to get a cup of coffee, and I'm just
gonna, listen to me.
Going to just listen to Ted today, man.
Ended up dying broke, I think.
He's got a lot of information going on,
which
is cool.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, he ended up broke, huh?
A lot of them did.
Oh, yeah.
He and his brother, they had a couple of businesses that failed, and...
you can't
get rich out of... But he was always good, like, talking to people. Like, fans would come to his house and talk to him, but then I think I read something in one of these books where there was a robbery at his home, and it was pretty brutal. And after that, he just kind of like became a shut in, and you know, didn't really want to have anything to, you know, do with any fans or anything anymore. So,
yeah, I could see that.
Who else do we see in that scene? The human torso we see briefly. He gets one of the best scenes in the movie, which they cut a little bit, actually.
Really? Okay.
Which we'll talk about, but
yeah,
so you see like a bunch of them right there, and the guy said, you know, the guy that owns the property is actually very understanding, you know, and he sees them, you know, and the lady who's kind of taking care of the pinheads, I don't know if it's, well, that's what they call them, so.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're just like children. They're like children, and he was fine, he's like, you know, please stay, you know, make, you know, as long as you like. So there's some decent human characters in this movie.
Yeah.
But you do see, for the most part, that the people that are different do get joshed a little bit more.
Right.
That we see the half man, half woman coming up in they go back to the carnival scene, and a couple of guys they start making fun of her. It's Josephine Joseph.
Yeah.
Walking by.
Although, yeah, I mean the face, I mean this isn't somebody you would think half man, half woman because
yeah, I mean, there's very few real hermaphrodites. Yeah. In the carnival world, it would usually be just a female impersonator, a man who's a female impersonator.
Right.
And he would work out one side of his body, tan one side of his body, and then get flabby on the other side. You know, have a little bit of a boob. and dress in that particular way.
Yeah.
And they could usually like kind of like pull it off. So
yeah.
As far as Josephine Joseph, I don't think anybody really knows for sure if she was a true hermaphrodite or not.
Yeah.
And actually after, she was one of the ones that didn't have a good experience on this film, and after this movie, I think there's like no documentation, nobody really knows what happened to her after this. She just kind of got fed up with fed up with the life, and...
Because she was actually, most of these people were carnival performers. He took them right off of the...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah, they had a huge casting call, and they, you know, a lot of the... You know, sideshows wanted to get their, you know, person in the movie, so...
Yeah, like later on when they say, oh, Josephine, she likes you, but I think the Hercules or somebody.
But
he wants to...
Or he doesn't.
He doesn't, something like that.
Or they say something like, there's the other two guys and they're just teasing, you know, light your cigarette, you know, drop your lipstick, and, you know, just, and she never says anything.
There are a lot of little one-line dialogues that are really pretty cool that I can't remember offhand. Right. But that's another. I mean, watch the movie. There's a lot of cool dialogue between the, you know, each person, and the stutterer comes up next.
Yeah, too. Roscoe. He and another main character that we're going to see a lot in the film, who plays a big role, is Hercules.
Doesn't he? He takes a bra off, doesn't he? So he must be kind of
I think he's like playing a woman. Yeah, they have like a little clowny kind of comedy act, and the same thing. Joseph walks by, and Roscoe has a stutter, and it's like, you know, I think she likes you, but he doesn't.
Yeah,
and you know, then they start, you know,
and then talking to Hercules, the big guy, you know, the strong guy, which
right,
he's kind of in cahoots with Cleopatra in this movie.
Exactly.
You know,
how it's going to turn out is it turns out that Hans, you know, he's pretty thrifty with his money. With Cleopatra, you know, she'll come out and say, "Oh, can I borrow another? I think this takes place in Europe somewhere. Can I borrow another 1,000 francs?" And you know, he's so enamored. Yes, he's buying her gifts, and you know, it's going to be found out later on that he actually has quite a bit of money.
Yeah, which made me wonder early on, not dissecting the movie, but why is he in the carnival if he's got all this money? Because they do show him later. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I am curious.
Well, I think it's like an inheritance, and I think he only kind of like more recently inherited the money.
Could be.
You know, maybe they have a commitment to the circus, they have to do this bit, but...
And maybe he did like it, and he was with Freda.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, the whole...
For a lot of people, this was how they made their living, you know? I mean, and I think, like, you know, you hear different stories. You hear some people treated very poorly. So I've read in this, you know, like, very special people book, like... You watch the Elephant Man movie, you think, oh, what a horrible life he had. But you read this and you find that he was actually treated very well. I mean, he kind of like made his own decisions, you know, if he was going to be with the sideshow or not.
Right.
You know, he went with the doctor willingly because he said maybe, you know, they wanted to study him. And, you know, it sounds like for the most part, you know, like in the John Merrick case, he was well treated. You know, and any sideshow that had him, that was kind of like their prized possession. They treated him very well.
Definitely.
Because you know, those are moneymakers.
Yep.
So, but then you hear stories that, you know, people that weren't treated so. So I'm sure it's both ways.
Yeah.
What do we get to next in the movie?
Well, is it Cleopatra or Venus?
Venus.
She's in, I don't know why she's in Hercules.
I guess they had a relationship. They have a little relationship going on.
Strange, yeah.
And I think she's just tired of him. He's, you know, taking her money and he's, you know, mooning around with other ladies in the circus.
Tells her to get out or whatever, and he's spraying his perfume and all that other stuff, and
don't try to come back later tonight either. And she decides to go back to her wagon, like, and that's what goes on. Like, everyone goes back to their wagon from wagon to wagon.
Right? Yeah,
everyone's got their own.
It's her own little community. Yeah, and that's where she is talking to Frozos.
Frozo the clown.
Why do I keep going Frozos or whatever?
It's but Frozo. Yeah, he's finishing Frozo. His act, taking his makeup off, and she just kind of unloads into him. Yeah. You know, just because he happens to be a guy and he's standing there.
But you can tell they're going to strike up kind of a little relationship.
Yeah, I mean, he
kind of
lets her unload for a little bit. He doesn't even say anything. No. And after she's done, he's like, wait a minute. I'm going to let that slide.
Tell her a couple things.
Yeah, and he even says, you know, you're not so bad to look at. You know, cheer up, kid. It's not so bad. And, you know, I think once he takes all his makeup off, she sees he's not so bad. And they're going to strike up a little friendship and a little romance later on.
Oh, yeah. Then
he comes out of the wagon and bumps into the
Siamese twins, the two girls.
This I got some info on these guys too. This is actually a very sad story. Even though they did well, but this is the Siamese twins in this movie are Violet and Daisy Hilton, and they were born in England day after my birthday and like
born in England.
Yeah, born in England, Brighton. And they were the first conjoined twins in England that survived more than just a few weeks.
Okay.
So that's historic on that point. They were born of a unwed mother who's like a barmaid.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically sold the Siamese twins to her boss who owned the bar. And her last name was Hilton. And that's, they took the name. The lady that, you know, that was kind of her boss, she kind of saw money-making potential in them right away. And pretty much, I mean, the one book I've got here has pictures of them from a baby to young girls to, you know, like maybe, you know, puberty, low teens, and then like how they look in the film.
Conjoined at the hip.
Yeah, exactly. Joined at the hip and kind of almost like a godsend in that they were able to move, at least, you know, in unison together. They were able to move. You know, a lot of conjoined twins, you know, you've seen people like joined at the head and things where it's not really easy to move. You know, these they girls could do walk, it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually, the lady who, I'm going to say owned them, because these girls were kind of, you know, even though they were out in the public eye and had a career, like in vaudeville and stuff before this movie, long
it's
before
it's almost like
this
having a contract on them, you know.
They were pretty much kept sequestered and enslaved behind closed doors. But they were given music lessons, dancing lessons, and you know, they even worked with like Harry Houdini and Bob Hope before they took off and got really big.
And trying to take advantage of their
They were around. People knew who they were back then.
Yeah,
they had been around the circuit, and you know, they did the little bit in this movie, and even afterwards, like when they became 17, 18, they were able to legally emancipate themselves from this lady who owned them. And get a manager, and you know, they had relationships. I think both of them maybe had been married briefly, but they were kind of like sham weddings, and you know, and they had like this ability to kind of like shut the other one out, like if one of them was, you know, with their husband. So
yeah, that's the strange thing.
They could kind of, and there's even a great part in a movie. But I mean, I think so, these girls have some of the best scenes in the movie. But the tail end of the story. Is, you know, even though they did pretty well, and they made good money for themselves during that time, but through whatever mismanagement or poor decisions, they ended up in Florida working in a grocery store together.
Really?
And I guess they hadn't reported to work for a couple of days, and their boss called the police to go check their apartment or house, wherever they lived, and they were found dead. This was in 1969, and they died of, like, an Asian flu that maybe had been going around the time, but it was determined, like, medical examination, autopsy, or whatever, that Violet, I believe, had died first, and then, or whoever had died first, the other one died, like, 2 to 4 days later.
Okay.
So, one of them was conjoined to a dead twin for 2 to 4 days.
So, they must have, they at least in their 50s?
Oh, up to maybe 60? Even older than 60s? That. Yeah, maybe okay. older than that. They were born, I think, in maybe either early 1900s or like the very tail end of the 1890s.
Okay, so yeah, they must have,
I mean, a lot of them
Siamese
had long
twins. Life. I mean, they did all
right. Right, and you know, they just had the fortunate thing to be conjoined where they were, like at the bottom of the back, spine, hip, wherever they were.
And nowadays they might have been able to have surgery performed on them, maybe. I don't know.
You know, I'm not sure. You know, back then, if they tried to do it, normally one of them died, or it depended on if, you know, sometimes they didn't know if they were sharing an organ or not.
Well, like the most famous Siamese twins, the
Chang and Eng.
Yeah, Chang and Eng. They said they could have been surgically, and they would have both survived.
Right.
They didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And they went on to have a very good life.
With Chang and Eng, they had like dozens of kids.
Yeah, I mean,
how weird of a situation is that, you know, to be.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to talk about it here in the movie, because actually the part that we're up to is where one of them is, Daisy, is married to the stutterer, Roscoe.
Are they married or
they're married?
They are married. Okay.
Because he refers to the other one as his sister-in-law in the movie. And, you know, he's saying, you know, he's talking, and Violet, the other sister's giving him sass.
Yeah.
You know, he's, you know, you can't be going out drinking all night. I'm tired of you getting drunk every night.
And this is the part where I'm not sure he says it here, but he tells the other one, not the one he's married to. He tells the other sister, he goes, I'm not going to have my wife laying in bed half the day with one of your hangovers.
Right.
So, you know, he's married to her, but her sister's getting drunk every night, and she's getting drunk too because she can't help it. So.
And every time, you know, he wants to.
And he's getting sick and tired of it.
He wants to, you know, spend time with his wife, and Violet's like, no, I have to go. Come on, Daisy. And she just.
And can you imagine that?
And I love how he always says, oh, you always use that as an alibi. It's kind of like Porky Pig.
An alibi.
Yeah, he does that a couple times. An alibi.
I didn't pick up on that. But I'll go back and look at
that. An alibi.
Oh, man. But can you imagine, I mean, actually falling in love with, I mean, it's not like it's
so tons bizarre. Of other,
but yeah, it's got to be so strange. Especially later when we find out that the other sister
is
going to get engaged and get married. And it's like, and they tell him, he goes, well, why don't you stop over sometime?
Oh, God, yeah.
And he goes, well, why don't you stop over sometime? Oh, thank you. You'll have sometime?
To come You'll visit us sometime. They're all going to be living together.
Right. I mean, you know, I mean, so funny.
It is. It's just real slick part.
And, yeah.
Yeah, you always listen
to I love that. And I love the stutter. He's kind of
That's an unfortunate thing, too, just stuttering.
I've never known
anybody with a stutter.
That's bad. Yeah, you know, but I've heard people have too.
I remember hearing like Stuttering John on like Howard Stern. I used to listen to him when he was on free radio.
Yeah,
like back in the 90s, and how he would talk about being in school. Sometimes he would just say the wrong answer when he was called on because it was easier to say. Yeah. It's like I knew the right answer, but I couldn't say it. So right. I just if the answer was four, I said two, because it was easier to say.
Yeah,
or something. So, apart from that, it's just a.
Yeah, we get
then
to
we the, get to Hercules. He's going to sneak back into Cleopatra's
wagon. Kind of hook up there.
Yeah, she's kind of talking about all the money that she's getting from her little admirer.
She's got some lingerie.
Yeah, she's got some wine. Yeah. And, they're going to start hatching a little thing going on here. Like, see what you can get from him. Get a little bit more. Get a little bit more. And
at this point, I don't think they know that he has as much money as
no,
he has.
That's actually not till closer to the end.
They just know that he's generous and he's giving. So
yeah, he says, where's he getting all that money from anyway? But, where's a little guy like that get all that money?
Yeah. But he wants some Cleopatra, Hercules.
Well, they start having a little relationship going. And,
and
when they're making out, he and Cleopatra, they start kissing, whatever. Joseph. Is standing in the doorway just watching. And it's a cold-blooded scene. Hercules goes out there and just cold socks, Josephine
right.
Joseph right in the face.
Yeah. Joseph. Yeah, the half-man, half-woman.
I don't even know if he hit the male side.
He might have hit the female side, Josephine.
Yeah, like, gangster. Yeah. Boom.
He cold cocks her right in the face. Yeah,
brutal. So maybe that's why, kind of... sore off sideshow some of this because every scene that she's in he's in it's horrible. She's getting made fun of and punched, and
that is
she don't
true.
Get a good scene in the whole movie.
That is true. She's the low man or woman on the totem pole,
and then there's another scene
the low with, man or woman on the totem pole. Okay,
there's another scene.
How's Freda sitting at the table?
Yeah, and she's just trying to talk to him,
and he's in deep thought. He's just
deep thought
because he's in love with Cleopatra, man. He's going, man, I got a
Hans,
big woman.
You have not been listening to me.
And I mean, think about it. Think about if we had a beautiful woman, like we're, 5'10", 6 foot, whatever, and we see a 12-foot woman. You know what I mean? Man. Can you imagine? Anyways, let's get back to it. But yeah, they're in deep thought.
And, yeah, when he does exactly like what I do with my
because a 12-foot woman, you could climb up her. I mean, to get what you wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot.
Yeah, you gotta have those little things on your shoes to dig in and climb up. And lasso.
Rope climbing. I got a nipple.
he does something that I do with my wife all the time, and it's. She's like, have you been listening to what you say?
Oh.
Have you been listening to what I'm saying? He's like, I've heard what you said. You said, what was it you were saying? And that's me. But she's like, I was saying you shouldn't smoke such a big cigar at night. He's like,
if I want to smoke a cigar, I'll smoke a cigar. Well, he says, I'm a man. If I want to smoke.
Right.
He's trying to prove
and
himself.
I think that's the issue of this scene in the movie that, he's not a little boy. Even though they look like children, they're not.
Yeah.
He's a full-grown man. And
man
he's
feelings.
Not
going
to be bossed around. Right. And that's the thing with Cleopatra, just, you're so cute little lambs, can I have 1,000 francs? Treat him like a child.
Yeah.
But he's so enamored he doesn't see what she's doing.
And but Freda does, and she's trying to warn him.
So she's having a little conversation, Freda, in one of the next scenes that, she's hanging some laundry, doing all your circus people got to wash the underwear too.
Yeah.
And she starts, kind of pouring her heart out to Venus, how... Hans just doesn't see. She's like, I see everybody laughing at him behind his back, but he doesn't notice it. And I feel bad for him. It hurts me that they're laughing at him.
Yeah.
So, she's kind of, there's no real solution to it. But then I love the next part.
Oh, yeah.
When
this is the where they like start making fun, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a few guys playing
poker, you know, cards, or something on a table.
And they start making some comments, I think, about like what clothes Cleopatra should be wearing. And he comes out there, he starts spouting out some German at him and calling him Schwein. Oh, yeah. And
you Schwein! You Schwein! And he's standing
and
out there.
And he's got that high-pitched Munchkin-type voice. Yes. And it's just
and he's like, not taking no crap. I mean, no! He's putting his chest out towards them, mm-hmm. and they're just laughing at him. And she goes and, you know, does
my shoulder,
can you rub it? Yeah, and she puts her dress down, so he's rubbing
he's
her
getting
skin.
Down. He's like right above the crack, and he's just getting it, and they're all laughing. She's laughing. They're all laughing.
It is such a shame, actually. The poor guy, poor Hans. Hans in front.
I know. But the guy's laughing. He catches him making fun again. He's, you know.
He looks brutal, actually.
He's whatever. It's all German, and he's just spouting it at
him. I wouldn't want him come running at me, man.
Yeah, man. I think someone yelling at you in German just is terrible.
Are you trying?
You know, I mean, he's just... okay.
Very funny. Yeah, and then we...
A little bit more of the relationship developing between... Venus Frozo. And Frozo.
Frozo.
Not much, really, but, you know, no kissing or romance.
You know what? Their relationship...
But they're building up their friendship.
Yeah, and this goes through the whole movie. It's like a slow build-up to a...
Yeah, we never get much from it.
To a kiss and a hug later on. Right. That's pretty much it.
It just builds up to, like, Johnny X showing up. He's the half-boy again. Just comes walking up. They show him, like, a long shot, walking up on his hands, wearing gloves.
Yeah.
Hey, did you try that new gag I told you about? But it's just so...
He's got very large hands to begin with.
Yeah,
whether they're calloused or
that's
just
me the most. I think out of so many of these, just like when he just really fast hops up stairs in the wagon
and even when he runs through the like on the ground, I mean it's so fast and you're like,
oh. I don't want to say disturbing. It's not. It doesn't disturb me. It's just so
strange.
Odd.
It is
so odd looking to me. And, you know, I've never seen people like this in real life, really. And,
right.
You know, like, you know, I've seen short people, I've seen small people.
It's like the whole thing where the kids, they can't help to look, you know.
Right.
You don't make fun, but you can't help to look because it's mm-hmm. so different. It's
like,
odd.
We went to the zoo today, Cleveland Metro Park Zoo, and the girl that checked us in, she was a little person.
Really? Okay.
And as we're walking away, my daughter kind of like tugged at me and was like, there was something wrong with her. She was little. And I was like, well, honey, just like, you know, when we watch Big Chuck and Little John, same thing. You know, it's just, you know, she's just
normal,
small.
A normal parent would let their kid know what's wrong.
And, you know, and I'm sure most of these people, you know, probably wouldn't even care if you asked them. As long as you weren't, like, making fun or anything, you'd be, you know, if a child was saying, you know, why are you so little? I'm sure they wouldn't.
Right.
You know.
And I like what Frozo, he's got a little thing.
Gag.
He gives the Venus the big hammer.
Like rubber mallet or whatever.
I think that's the thing the guy with the, what's his name, with the hands, when he came up.
That's the gag Johnny Eck was talking about.
So he said, hit my head, so it's just big
it's
hammer.
It's like a big suit.
And she goes plunk, and the suit goes up, and the head's
disappears.
Looks
like his head got knocked down. Good clown bit.
Yeah, good clown bit. Kind of cool, so.
You know, clowns have to go to college, right? Do you know that?
Yeah, there's a big one down in Florida. Oh, yeah. I'm very good in juggling. Maybe I should have juggled here.
I have juggling balls, special juggling balls. But
I can do the unicycle. I can juggle three of anything.
Three of anything. Butcher knives?
Well, you know, I'm sorry, except knives or pins. But I did a basketball, a mitt, and a baseball. Super high.
Wow.
I can do three basketballs.
It's just practicing. You know, I got the juggling balls.
Once you get the three down, I mean, you can kind of do three of anything.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of getting it down.
Right. Like, that's in theory how to do it. You know, you've got to throw them this way, not from hand to hand.
Yeah.
Because I've got a British DVD video to show you how to do it. He's like, and don't throw it this way because it's just rubbish.
If you throw it this way, it's going to fall over.
But, well, it's just how he says, and don't throw it from hand to hand because it just looks rubbish.
It looks rubbish. Mate. Oh, boy.
And then,
what happens?
That scene's over. Johnny kind of hops away. And
who runs up? She's...
The one that comes up next. And
she looks like
she's
got the that disease where you age really fast.
She's got one. I don't have her name here on my list here. But there was someone called the Bird Woman.
Right.
And in this movie, her name is Cuckoo, the Bird Girl. But the actual original Bird Girl... was this one that comes up in the movie and whispers in Frozo's ear about something.
Yeah.
And actually, if and I know you were watching the movie, there's nothing physically wrong with her. She was just ugly.
Okay.
And she went on sideshows just because of that. She just happened to have a goblin-like appearance.
Goblin, yeah.
But there was absolutely no... She had nothing wrong with her.
She did seem to talk okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. But,
Her issue was she was just ugly.
Yeah.
And the news that spread through the sideshow was that the bearded woman had given birth.
Yeah.
And her husband...
And they don't show the baby. He just...
No, they never do.
He goes in and he just lifts up the blanket and goes, what is it? What did he say?
Is a girl. And he's like, oh, and I think Frozo says, oh, she's gonna have a beard like mommy.
Right, that's what he said. Right. Yeah.
And the bearded woman was named Olga Roderick. This is actually an interesting story. Her real name was Jane Barnell. I believe she's American. And you know, when she was born, you know, a couple, you know, 4 years old, whatever. I mean, he had that facial hair going. And
so she was really.
And people back then just didn't know how to deal with this kind of stuff.
Right.
So she. While the dad was away on business, I'm not sure exactly what he did for a living, the mother sold her to, I've got it written here, guys.
How times have changed. Well,
sold
actually,
her to, at the age of four, to the Great Orient Family Circus and Menagerie. And they basically took her, went to Europe, were on tour over in like Germany, Berlin.
Wow.
And the father actually tracked her down, came out to Berlin, found her. And took her back home, and I think it was like his mother, you know, the child's grandmother that you know she ended up living with and raising. But she especially, I think, didn't, you know, have a very good upbringing. I think she, you know, as older on in her teens, late teens, she did try shaving and worked as a nurse for a little while. What I read said something kind of bad happened while she was working as a nurse, and she just decided to go back to the carnivals, sideshows. She had done that prior. And then got into the movie this way, and I don't think there's much else after that. I do have that she was married four times.
Okay, so the guys did not like to shave her beard.
I guess not. And there's a cool extra on the DVD of I can't.
You think the guy kept saying, "Honey, please go and shave."
I don't know. Okay. But they do an interview with a woman. I think her name is Jennifer Miller. And this is modern day, you know, or at least when the DVD came out back maybe 10 years ago or something. I know I bought it the first day it came out.
Yeah.
And, you know, she had a full beard, mustache. Wow. And this is today, you know, where they can do things about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's it called? Hirsutism, I believe, when you grow hair. And, you know, she just, it's a choice to keep that. And she works, you know, the carnivals, whatever. You know, I guess there's still some around. And but in the movie, the bearded woman is married to, forgive me, I can't remember his name, Peter Robinson. Yeah. And he is the human skeleton. Fully grown, he weighed 58 pounds.
Yeah, and, he walked funny.
And isn't it so weird when he walks? It's like just a skeleton.
Yeah, walking. He walked like a skeleton, yeah.
And, you know, he's going around passing cigars out and all that. And in real life, he married a woman that weighed over 460 pounds.
Holy Moses.
And had a couple of kids.
Wow.
So there you go.
You know what? I hope you guys are enjoying this because I am so glad we did this movie, man.
Right.
I'm learning so much about
the some of this stuff of this movie, I knew, movie. But I kind of got the opportunity to dig a little deeper into it.
Yeah,
so.
That's awesome.
Little tidbits. I tried to have like little tidbits about all the main featured characters in the movie.
Yeah.
So I think. We get back to Roscoe. Another one with Roscoe and the Hilton sisters, the Siamese twins.
The stutter.
And, yeah, he's zipping them up. And
this is where he says that
the
line
hangover
that I gave
part.
You,
that's the hangover part.
Yeah.
And again, you know, she's bickering. Like, come on, Daisy, let's go. And he's like, no, she's staying right here. And he's like, no, I have to leave.
Yeah.
And he says that again. You know, you always use an alibi.
Mm.
Then we get, and see, that's the thing with this movie. You got the main story, Hans and Cleopatra,
right.
But then it's all these little slices of life in between,
right?
You know, and none of these parts that we're talking about really pertain to the story. It's just where you get a chance to see each one.
It's like their own little. They go from cart to cart,
right.
Showing the lives of these sideshows.
So we go to the next wagon, and I forget her name, but she's a woman with no arms. And
little small too. She's small.
The
too.
Little guy that I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
His name's Angelo Rizzitti. Just a dwarf, but I
still can't remember.
You can't remember where he's from. If you've seen this movie, And Angelo Rizzitti, the part where he's in his wagon with the no-armed lady, they're pouring some wine, and she actually picks up the wine with her feet and bends down to drink it. That guy, when I watched this, I mean, you know, I don't know if like the first time I watched it, if I put it all together, but I'm a big fan of the Mad Max series. Master from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Remember the little guy that rode on the big guy?
Oh, no way.
Master Blaster? That's
Holy.
Master.
Holy. Okay.
Yep, that's him.
Next time I look,
And it's the voice. His voice is exactly the same.
Okay.
So that's where you'll know this guy from if you're a fan of the Mad Max movies. Even way back in the 80s, you know, 84, 86, whenever Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome was made, back in 1932, this guy was in Freaks.
Wow. Unbelievable. I knew it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Like, you know, and he's been in other movies too.
Yeah.
But,
because really. I do remember him from like he was in some other older movies and stuff too.
Yeah, he got a lot of work actually.
Yeah,
he'd been in a lot of commercials and all kinds of things. He'd been in a lot of things. I don't think he was in Time Bandits. I think like every little person in the world was in Time Bandits. I don't think he was in Time Bandits. But that's a familiar face that modern audiences might recognize. And
then we get to.
Human Torso. His name
Human Torso
is I've got it here.
He's a black man.
I think he actually might have been like from India though. Like he might just be like really dark skinned from India. I thought
you know what?
I don't have it here.
You could be right. Okay.
But his name was Prince Ramdian. I think in the credits they spell his name wrong.
Okay.
But basically, he was born with no arms, no legs.
Yeah, he's a torso basically,
right.
He would wear like a tight fitting. The cool part, but the weird part, the odd part of is how he inched his way around. Like he could inch his body like a worm.
Just rope.
And that's how he would always go kind of on his side.
And that's how a lot of people that had this condition that worked in the sideshows were billed as like human worm, human torso, human caterpillar.
And his very cool trick he was able to do.
He wore like a tight fitting, sweater. So, I mean, you couldn't see anything and he would move. And yeah, he could cigarette.
Yeah, light a cigarette with a match out of the old little pull out. You get a little matchstick, put it together, turn it upside down, flick it, light your cigarette, and he was good to go.
All with his mouth.
His trick, man, all with his mouth. Yeah.
And what they cut out of the movie is he actually rolled that cigarette, too. He did
that. Oh, okay.
Well,
that would have taken some time. Right. Maybe I can understand why they cut that out.
I would have just loved to see the whole thing.
Well, I would. They should bring out a version if they have it somewhere. But
wish.
Maybe they don't have it yet.
He was actually pretty self-sufficient. He was married, had 5 kids. His son was pretty much like his caregiver. He would like carry him around on set and help him with, whatever activities of daily living he needed done.
Yeah.
But he was actually pretty self-sufficient. I've got pictures in the books. With him shaving, he built himself a box that had like a straight razor on there, and he could, kind of go like that and shave. So he was actually, in as much as he was able to, he was self-sufficient.
Yeah.
But just watching him light that cigarette, it's just amazing. I mean, my daughter is just sitting there like...
It's amazing what they can do.
Exactly.
To overcome. Yeah.
And how, a lot of these folks don't see it as disabilities. They just do things a little bit of a different way.
Exactly, yeah.
And, I think we get Schlitzy again.
Schlitzy, yeah.
Where, what's his name? Frozo's, I'm going to go to Paris and get you a hat with a big feather on it.
Well, he's raving about her pretty dress. Look at Schlitzy, he's got a pretty dress.
Like, I don't know if people who were watching this movie back then realized that was actually a man, but Schlitzy... very often played a girl because they put him in dresses.
Yeah,
but I gotta say he's just kind of cute guy. I mean, like I probably would have liked to hang out with him a little bit. Looked like he was
as long as he didn't get mad and hit you. I mean,
it just looked like
he looked very loving. He did. He looked
like
loving.
He could make anybody smile.
Yeah, like he was having fun.
And like he's
just happy.
Yeah, like that.
Right. Did a little Curly Joe.
Yeah.
Curly Joe.
Ow, that hurt.
Stop it already.
Boy. And then it goes to another scene. Just another little slice of life scene with another... I thought I had her name here. Maybe I don't.
No arms, but the legs. This is a different one.
Oh, forgive me. I don't have her. But
she's kind of pretty, too.
Her first name was Frances.
Okay.
And her scene's a little bit better because she's... you know, like cutting and eating meals with a fork, with her dining fork and knife table. At the table, picking up her glass of beer and drinking it with just her feet, and just, you know, just really amazing stuff. You know what I mean? But I guess you got to look at, you know, those people were born that way and that's all they knew. You know, you know, if you don't have arms, that's all you know is how to do things like that.
You do everything with your feet.
So I guess when you go online and you watch someone playing guitar with their feet and you think how amazing that is, well, for them, that's all they ever knew how to do.
Right.
So to them, it might not be quite so amazing, but...
to us, it is.
You know, absolutely. Know. Just, you know, again, just to overcome. And there's still people born like that today. And,
And then we go to the scene with Hans in...
He's mixing up some champagne.
Some weird mixer in the bottles where they would go like this, and it would mix up the drinks, you know. And he's giving it to Cleopatra.
Yeah, it's just illustrating more of him, you know, doting on her and spending money on her. And you just know. I mean, even a 5-year-old, my daughter, knew that. She kept saying, "Is she really like him?" And I'm like, "No." I go, "She just wants his money."
Yeah, and how he's not. Yeah, he just doesn't get it.
Doesn't see. Not until the end.
Everybody else sees it. Yeah,
and. I think then there's another little scene with Frozo and Venus.
It looks like he's, it's actually cool.
Yeah, it's a
it looks
cool
like
bit.
He's sitting in a bathtub. Looks like he's in a bathtub
taking a bath
washing.
Out in the yard.
Because he's like messing with something down there, like he's washing the soap and the rag and stuff like that. And here, he's not. He's really fixing a wheel and
on a bathtub.
Ducks down under it, comes out. And he's basically telling her, I forgot all about the date.
Because
she got all dressed up, man.
I had this idea. I got to work on this. And
Yeah,
she even says that. I got all dolled up for this.
Frozo, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, she's a cute girl. She actually kind of
reminds me. He's got his shirt off and he's, go ahead.
I was just going to say, she actually kind of reminds me a little bit of Fay Wray. You know, like
King
Kong.
Yeah, a little bit.
She kind of has that little.
She's got the look.
Fay Wray was prettier, but.
Yeah,
but still,
but she's got the hair, the
that style
hat
hair
and the
from
style.
King
yeah.
Kong, and
more 1920s than well, this is 32, so close enough,
right.
Anyways. But yeah, he's got his shirt off, and this is where they first day like connect, and he kisses her, and he's going, "I wanted to do that for so long."
We've all had that and experience before.
Just, I've been sitting here for weeks. But yet he was sitting there fixing that thing and forgot about the date.
Yeah, he could have been getting some smooching going on.
But
he's not such a bad-looking kid.
Yeah.
You know?
You got to get a shirt on. But
He's got his big barrel chest sticking out. And then after that, we get to the scene that Dino and I were talking about with the Hilton sisters, the Siamese twins again, where Violet is now getting engaged to a fella. and it is cool because this is kind of what I was talking about before about them... And I read this in the books here about them being able to shut each other out while something was going on. And Daisy's just sitting there reading a book.
Yes.
But then something happens, and I don't think I've read anything that they could actually do this. Because it happens a couple times in the movie where a fella goes up to, like, you know, Daisy and pinches her on the shoulder, but Violet can feel it.
Yeah.
And in this scene, he's giving her a kiss, and Daisy stops reading, and she's, you know, just
taking it in.
Like, I don't think they could actually do that.
Yeah, I wonder.
From what I
mean, even nowadays, the twins actually say, "I can feel."
Yeah. So if I'm wrong and someone knows it, you know, please, you know, give me a shout. Let me know if I was wrong or not. But from what I was reading the last few days, I didn't stumble across anything where they could actually do that.
Yeah. But yeah, he was looked like a kind of a suave looking man too.
You know, like I wouldn't have trusted him, but. Then Roscoe shows back up, and that's the part we were talking about where, you know, he says they're going to get married and
shake hands.
They shake hands. He's like, "You're going to have to come visit us sometime." "Oh, thanks. You're going to have to come see us." And it's like, really?
And they're both smiling like, "Oh my God, our married life. Oh,
how odd."
Oh, I know. I mean, just can't get over
that. I guess the thing is, you know, these girls actually did get married. How just odd.
Yeah.
You know, I mean... What a weird... I mean, the marriages didn't work.
Right.
But how? But there have been cases where it had, like Chang and Eng.
Yeah.
They were both married and had... The pictures I got in this book, there's like 28 kids around them.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
They got busy.
The thing is, they could have been separated, too. I mean, they could have been separated, lived their own lives, but they decided not to.
It's just a special connection, I guess. I mean, everything that I've ever heard, and you've seen some even on Dr. Phil and stuff like that, which is about the only time I watch a show like that, is if there's something cool like that on.
I hope so.
Or something different, I should say, not cool, but different.
I hope so.
You know, it's just... Yeah, it's a connection that if you're not like that, I guess you just don't understand. And But I think the next part of the movie is where Frida kind of confronts Hans about what's going on. And it's like, you know, I just want you to be happy. If this is what you want, go for it, you know. And then Hans kind of says, I should have told you all this from the beginning. Yeah. And, you know, she warns him, though, that, you know, they're just making fun of you. And, you know, it hurts me to see this happen to you. But if you're happy, then fine. Mm-hmm. And
there's Frida goes and confronts Cleopatra.
Yeah, and tells her the same thing. You know,
says, why are you doing this?
Hercules is in there. He goes and hides in the corner.
Yeah, he darts around.
She just, and this is the scene, you know, when she's confronted, is where she spills the beans that he has recently inherited a lot of money.
Yeah,
and
Cleopatra's like, you just see the close up of her face, and she's like, oh my god,
really?
Money hungry. She's on a mission now, man. Yeah. She's gonna get all that cash.
And you know, after Frida leaves and Hercules comes back out and they're talking, and you know, the plan is in motion. You know, we could get, you know, he'll marry me.
Yeah,
you know, and she says, you know. She says that, you know, midgets aren't strong. Something could happen to him.
Yeah.
And now you know where the movie's going, what she wants to do.
Yeah.
So we don't actually see the wedding, but then we get to
The big wedding feast.
The most memorable scene in the film movie, is the, you know, and you've seen it spoofed in South Park, Simpsons, all this, you know, Google gobble, Google gobble, one of us.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you've never seen this movie, you've probably heard that little bit before.
Yes.
And
the big thing is the cuckoo girl
dancing on the table. And the cuckoo girl,
you know,
the bird girl, I got a little stuff on her. She just had like a weird skeletal disease. And if you can see some pictures of her, I mean, just her eyes were real small. Her head was kind of enlarged up here.
Yeah.
But she had like a weird beak-like nose. And
It looks almost like the age disease, like the
You remember those?
Almost like that.
I remember,
you know,
seeing those like on Real People and stuff when we were kids. Yeah. Or is that what that show was called, Real People?
Or That's Incredible?
Oh, or Ripley's like Believe It or Not?
Yeah,
or
one of those
like
shows. Yeah.
And the only thing I kind of found about her is that she was kind of taken out of a mental institution where she had been because this also caused some retardation as well. And again, shuffled from circus to circus. And I think even as late as the 60s or 70s, she was still performing in Coney Island, still alive. So dialogue, but that scene where she's just dancing on the table.
Oh, it's
with the big hat, with the big feather on top.
Oh, it's a memorable scene. She's like a bird up there just dancing back and forth. And
right.
And they're all having fun. And
having
all
the big part of this is only... pretty much the sideshow related people. Hercules is there as well.
They're in the tent, big table.
And
drinking and
right. So
and they show off to the side, they show Cleopatra actually dumping
under the table.
And pouring a little vial of what you know is poison into the bottle of champagne.
Right, and giving it to Hans to drink.
Yes.
So there you know how that's going. And
trying to kill
him. You know, even a good sport as she is, you still got Freda sitting down at the end of the table. You know, watching all this.
Just looking with, disparity. And just going, God.
And we get to see a couple scenes of a sword swallower, a fire eater, stuff like that. And they get, like, a good close-up on just about everybody at the table.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
And I think one of
they're all having fun.
Well, right. You know, it's a big deal. And
it's a big party.
Then, you know, everyone's drinking, and Hercules basically grabs Cleopatra and just starts making out with her right there at the table, right in front of Hans.
He does not care.
And
they don't care. They're just like, aha, they're laughing at him. And
exactly.
She's
Freda ends up just getting up and leaving. And this is where we get the gobble gobble, gobble gobble. They pour a big bottle of champagne into a big like punch bowl. And it's you know, we accept her, one of us, referring to Cleopatra. We accept her, one of us, one of us. She's getting a horrified look on her face as this is going
disturbed.
On. And it's almost like communion. Everyone takes a little sip, and it's like a little, right. And, you know, the sideshow code, you know, it's kind of like if you hurt one of us, I don't know, this is not really for real, it's in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, you hurt one of us, you hurt all of us. And,
I can see that being a code actually in real life as circus. But
I guess from what I was hearing, you know, from some of these other books and the documentary, there's, you know, a lot of them had very different ideas of things. And, but they get a good view on every. You get to see all of them. And, you know,
I love the scene where the guy with just no, the
half boy.
He's got just he's on one hand.
Yeah, swinging the knife around. It's and like,
gobble, he's balancing, man.
Yeah, and the guy that played Master in Mad Max, he's the one pouring the champagne into,
on top of the table,
glass.
Walking from person to person.
Yeah, it goes to each one of them, and they take a little sip. And when they get to her, you know, she basically just gets up, calls them dirty, filthy freaks.
Yeah, you dirty,
and takes it and throws it in his in Angelo Rizzito's face, the little dwarf.
Yes.
And you know they're all horrified. They start backing away because you know, they've all just been insulted.
And Hercules is kind of there too.
Yeah, and then they just proceed to basically humiliate Hans. You know, treating him like a little baby. I think she even puts him on her shoulders.
Hercules, and walks him around,
parading around the table and singing. And you know, he even says, "You know, you're making me ashamed." And you know, he realizes now that you know this was all a mistake. He's you know humiliated. They try to play it off in the wagon, like you know, we were drunk. There's nothing between us. And I told you, you don't understand.
Yeah, why he's there, yeah, mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, okay, I believe you.
And you see Hans kind of wavering
bit. He's poisoned.
Right,
you know,
he's
you
feeling
tell.
The effects of that.
But this is where the big change in the movie
turns.
This is the big final run of what's going on with the revenge and stuff like
right,
that.
Because while that's going on, they're all peeking in the windows.
This is, you know, from this point forward, you get a view and image of these, each one of these oddities, these mm-hmm. freaks coming, and they're either staring at them, Cleopatra and Hercules, the rest of the movie.
Right.
What's his name's peeking through the window at them?
Mm-hmm. Angelo Rizzito.
Yeah, and he finds out, because he's peeking through the window, he finds out that they're poisoning him.
Yeah, through the course of events, he finds out he's being poisoned.
Yeah, but they're just.
And it's over, you know. That's
they're out for revenge.
Yeah, aren't
they're
they like
checking in on what's going on.
Cold
they're breaking
stares
it down.
From all of them. The rest of the movie,
very eerie scenes, you mm-hmm. know, from every one of these characters, and this is where the horror part comes through, you know, because
right.
it's a scary movie at this point on.
Yeah,
you know?
Hans kind of just you know accepts the fact that you know, hey, I know why you married me, and you know. You know, Hans the fool.
Yep.
And
passes out, and they put him in bed.
Yeah, he's laying in bed, and, you know, the doctor comes and realizes, you know, because, you know, a couple of them are looking through the window or standing in the doorway while the doctor's there from the sideshow. And, you know, he states, you know, what could have done this to him? He's like poisoned. He was poisoned.
Yep.
And everyone associated with the sideshow is just looking right at Cleopatra, like, no one's saying anything, but they know. If he was poisoned, she's the one who did it.
Oh, yeah.
And I forget exactly, sometimes the sound in these old movies isn't so great.
Right, and it was hard to hear some
they
of
said
the
something
voices.
gave him water of something, and that saved his life. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, she may have, I can't remember, yeah, exactly. But yeah.
Right, so
But he didn't die, he's
right, and so the doc gives some medicine, you know, to help kind of, I guess, maybe to clear it out of
detox
his system
or whatever.
Or
yeah.
And in a couple of scenes in the movie, you see her with a little vial, putting some poison on his medicine spoon, and then putting the medicine on. But Hans knows what's going on right now. He's not trusting this lady as far as
he
can
throw
her.
Spits it out. And when she turns and walks away, he spits it out in his thing and goes, still acts like he's... Because they've got a plan in motion.
But he's acting like, you know, what would I do without you?
And, right.
But, all the other, you know, they always show, like, Angelo looking through the window.
Yeah.
It's usually him.
Yeah. Well, they've caught on. They know that she's poisoning him.
The plan's in motion.
The
they're going to do
in
it.
Motion. They're not going to let her get away with it.
Venus confronts Hercules about the poisoning.
Yeah.
And says, you know, even though no one has said it, everybody knows that you guys were in on it. And she's like, you know, I'm going to go to the cops.
And he grabs her, but then all the...
Everyone's watching.
Circus performers are watching.
Backs off.
Yeah, but he backs off.
But yeah, she threatens to call, get the police involved, and that's going to mean that she's got to be out too eventually.
Yep.
So her life's going to be in danger. So basically, what's going
this all
on
culminates is, into.
Yeah, we get to the evening before the circus is about to leave. Go to the next town, next site, whatever. And
thunderstorms.
She's about to give Hans some more medicine again.
Yeah,
and he says, "Let me see that little, you know, when she's got the spoon right there." And a couple of the other small people are in the room too.
Yeah,
and she says she wants them gone, and he says, "No, I want them to stay with me." And he says, "Let me see that little bottle," because Angela had been able to see what she was doing,
right?
And you know, the jig is up. She knows, they know, whereas she didn't know they knew before.
And the one guy sitting in a corner brings out his blade.
Yeah, he's got a switchblade. Little guy with a switchblade.
And he just wipes it off. He's showing her, you know, I'm
ready. Johnny Eck, the half-boy, pulls out a pistol. Like a Ruger or whatever.
Yeah, it looks like a German pistol. He
shines it a little.
Yeah.
I don't know where he got that. But, and then the other side of the plan, like for Cleopatra Hercules, is that they're going to take Venus out. She knows too much, and they got to get rid of her. So he kind of slips out of the wagon. He's kind of like walking. The troop is leaving. It's a thunderstorm.
They're going cart to cart during all these scenes.
Yeah,
kind of.
It's a dirty road, muddy road out in the forest.
But Hercules kicks in the back of Venus's, you know, trailer and stuff, and you know, I think
Frozo, he's with Frida. And she kind of fills him in that, you know, she overheard that they're going to be after Venus.
Yeah.
So he kind of like gets to the rescue and he's fighting. He busts into the, you know, at just the right moment, you know, the big hero moment.
He grabs his legs as he's going through.
Right. He busts into Venus's wagon as that's going on. And there's a big fight. He puts his head on the stove and he's getting whooped. But, you know, he's, you know, telling Venus, you know, go, get out.
Oh, yeah.
So it saves her life.
It's a brutal scene. The thing crashes and turns over.
Yeah, the wagon
fires
flips
on
over.
His face, kind of burn. And
this is the scene in the rain. This is the classic scene.
Yes,
you know, I mean,
you love the angles of the pictures. Yeah, the film.
It's all like under the wagons
as the rain's coming down. And
Hercules is choking out Frozo. And the one fellow with the switchblade. Yeah, remember?
Almost like the knife thrower.
Perfect.
Right? Perfect right in the side of his chest. Yeah.
And then comes like the scene, they're all coming at you with the knives. Yes. And they've all, even Slitzy, got a little knife, you know, the mind of a 3-year-old. And
very eerie and
that
scary
one freaks
looking.
Me out.
Yeah, crawling under there, black and white. Just what a view. And
they've all got a blade.
Capture, yeah.
And the human torso. I love when he comes, you know, he's got it in his teeth.
Yeah,
he's
like rolling. I don't know what he's gonna do, but that's a great scene.
Right. Or the one little like kind of wolf boy that they
you
finally get a look at him. He was in
right,
the movie. But like everyone's crawling, even though you don't have to. It's just like that crawling in the mud.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I think
like
that,
he told them to make, you know, as airy as possible, just crawl through the mud underneath the stuff.
Right.
And I always remember that scene, and they're all going towards Cleopatra.
Right, Cleopatra takes off. She's running through the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Hans and a couple of the other small people are coming, and Johnny Eck, the half boy,
yeah,
running on his hands. That's a real eerie scene, just in the rain, coming after her
in the dark in the
rain.
And
she just screams, and then we go back to the end.
How we started the movie
with the carnival talker Barker,
telling the story,
and we'll get to see what happened. And This is the story of Cleopatra, remember?
Yeah. And they do show her down there. It's Cleopatra. She's kind of all
cut up and
cut up,
half of what she used to be, and they've turned her into the duck woman.
Yeah.
Where she's just like, quack.
She looks like quack, she's got, yeah, quack. She's doing that, whether they cut her tongue, whether they just tarred the feather on her or what, but
now some of the parts they cut out were that scene. You know, the rain scene. I know of two parts particularly that were cut were when they were attacking Cleopatra. You know, she just kind of screams and it kind of fades out, and then we go to the Barker again. Lightning hit a tree. The tree fell on her legs, which explains why her legs were gone.
Okay.
And then the rest of them just kind of converge on her. I think that would have been kind of cool to see.
Oh, like that would have been awesome.
And then,
I'm speaking as a horror film.
Right, and they actually castrated Hercules, because when they get to the carnival where you see the duck woman, next to her booth is Hercules, and he was supposed to like be singing in a high soprano voice.
Okay.
So you don't actually see them cutting him,
right,
but it's implied what they did to him. They took his manhood. So, you know, what they in effect did is, because they were humiliated by Cleopatra and Hercules, you know, especially Cleopatra, they made her into a freak so that, you know, experience it from our point of view.
Yeah, now there you are. You can live our life for the rest of your life.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the actual end of the movie is just one of those things they tacked on. They were trying all kinds of different endings.
Yeah.
Where Hans is kind of living in a nice big mansion, nice big type, house. Yeah. It's inferred that a couple of years have gone by, and Frozo, Venus, and Frida show up at the house, and the butler's telling him, he's like, I haven't seen anyone in years, and I'm not going to see them, send them away.
Yeah.
But they kind of
bust they barge in anyways, yeah.
And basically, you know, they do make mention, because I guess a lot of people when the film came out were disturbed by the fact that, you know, all the stuff that happened to Hans, and then he becomes so bloodthirsty, you know, at the end, and partakes in the killing.
Right.
Frida actually says something in passing to kind of say, you know, it wasn't your fault, you just wanted the poison bottle. And, you know, because it's just real quick. And I think that's to kind of soften, you know, that Hans wasn't really, you know, even though he was in that group that was chasing after, that, you know, he wasn't, you know, bloodthirsty like the others were. Yeah. And then she basically forgives him, and, you know, she's like, don't cry, Hans, don't cry. Because he's ashamed of how he treated all of them.
Yeah, it ends with his head on her lap, pretty much, saying, you know, and fades to black.
Right, the that's the film.
Yeah. And very, it's up there, man. It's an awesome movie.
Absolutely.
Set aside, different from anything you would have seen before,
right,
or to date, even since, now, yeah,
you know, it's just there's a handful of films that kind of just stand on their own, you know.
This is one.
Plenty of slasher movies, plenty of, you know, you know, all kinds of other horror movie, monster movies, but there's nothing like this.
Yeah. I mean, even for the time, I mean, you know, black and white horror movies were, you know, monsters, this and that. This was just totally different.
And you know, like we did our top 10 lists, and you know, I think even though our lists were very different, you know, I think both of us kind of like either like, love, or respect each other's lists.
Oh, yeah, you know, without a doubt.
There wasn't really, like, any movies on your list that I didn't at least, you know, have a passing respect or actually love myself.
Oh, yeah.
But Freaks just really, you know, just impacted me somehow. And even though, you know, you modern horror fans probably wouldn't put this movie on their top 10 list, go check out the people that direct those horror movies. Right? Yeah. You look at the, you know, Joe Dante's and Rob Zombie's from today, and look, and I'll bet you dollars to donuts, Freaks is a movie you know, inspired them.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's why I think it's important that we talk about these movies. You know, there's a million podcasts for, you know, newer horror movies out there, but, you know, you got to talk about these old ones. Let's get back to the basics and where it all came from. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it goes back even further than this to The Silence. And, you know, those have some creepy moments. And go ahead, watch them in the dark, you know, because that's how they're meant to be. Like when we did Island of Lost Souls, not a silent movie, but just...
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, especially the big screen TVs we got now. Yeah. We watch this in the dark.
Yeah, it's almost like watching it in a movie theater.
It's great, man. Yeah.
So
yeah, revisit these black and white movies, man. Absolutely. I mean,
we don't know enough of them.
You don't know what we'll get to them.
I know. We don't do enough of them.
Yeah,
those are the ones I really love. So
that's the ones I love too.
But
I mean,
this is one that I've been wanting to do. We've been talking about doing this one since we started.
Yeah,
and I'm glad we finally did it.
Yeah. Lots of information. Hope everybody loved it, man.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, if you don't
insights
have
insights, yeah,
if you haven't seen it, you know, don't cheat. You know, go get the DVD. It's like $10.
Yeah.
And watch this movie. It's only an hour long. You're not going to kill yourself.
And when you're watching it, respect it. Don't you know? Don't, oh my God, just respect it, man. Yep. It's what it is.
It's one of a kind.
Yep.
And we're lucky to even have it after all the cuts and controversy and the hate and this movie got when it first came out. We're lucky to even have it. Same like with the original Nosferatu. I mean, we're lucky to even have that movie because by law it was supposed to have been destroyed.
Yeah. Oh boy.
So
yeah, heck man, this has got me in the mood for black and white, I don't know. I think we were thinking of Night of the Creeps.
Yeah,
we may do that next week, but we're gonna start getting to some black and white movies. So
it's getting to be that time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Summer's almost over, summer's almost gone.
Yeah, fall's coming, gonna get some little bit more darker stuff coming and all that.
Right.
So definitely cool.
It's time to creep back. I love atmosphere, and that's what these movies have. I don't need jumps and scares. I like atmosphere that's unsettling and the whole, you know, that's what I like. And this one just has so many human oddities in it that, you know, it's just, you're not going to see. You know, like I said, even medical science has kind of eliminated a lot of this. You know, we don't get so many people, maybe in other countries, but you don't see people like this very much. And, you know, this was like the one opportunity you had to kind of see some really weird things.
Yeah. Even to nowadays. I mean, unless you're watching a documentary on TLC or something. Right. And even then, you're not going to see the... I mean, this is about the story of the sideshow circus. And it's almost documentary style. I mean, not the movie, but just seeing these real life, you know,
freaks. Little slices of life in there.
Yeah, and how they live their life. I mean, it's,
Yeah, I think we can just look at it now with more empathetic eyes and realize. I think we just live in a culture now that's a little bit more sensitive. And, you know, these... I don't know, you just empathize. Whereas people looked at them before and were just so horrified by their appearance.
Oh, yeah.
That was the whole point.
Especially all the info that you got on their, even every one of their lives, kind
so
of.
So many of them had sad lives, you know, and, you know, none of these people asked to be born that way. You know, even my five-year-old understood that just because people are different doesn't mean they're bad. You know, you can't help but look when you see someone walking on a street that looks real different, or someone who's 9 feet tall or whatever.
Right.
You can't help but look, and I'm sure they understand that. But, you know, you just, you know, she understood that, you know, they have feelings too.
Right.
You know, just because, you know, Schlitzie's got the mind of a 3-year-old, you wouldn't go and be mean to him or her just because they're different. And, you know, that was the point of the movie. And I don't think people got that back then. It was just the, you know.
It was a shock of seeing.
The shock of seeing people.
Yeah,
like
this is the first.
It was a new medium back then. Yeah, talking motion pictures.
Exactly. And, that's what I was going to say. I mean, movies and actually seeing this. Because, I mean, where would you ever have seen it unless you actually went there and visited, you know, a circus sideshow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is just putting them all right up there on the screen, and you're like going, oh my God, what the heck, you know? And so, I mean, in a way, I can see, you know, it's like the shock of the first time of seeing something like that. But, yeah, as time has gone, I mean, like you said, you respect it. I mean, you know.
And horror
I mean,
movies were a new thing back then, too.
Yeah.
So, and there were a lot of groups, you know, rallying against church groups and stuff, rallying against horror films. And there was the whole big controversy with, you know, like movies like Little Caesar and stuff like that. You know, the Scarface, the original Scarface.
Yeah.
I mean, even though we watch it now, but it glorified that kind of gangster lifestyle. And,
oh, I love those movies too.
Oh, absolutely. Cagney, we should just do some just for
Edward
the fun
G.
of
Robinson.
It.
Oh, yeah.
God. Little Caesar. I watched Little Caesar with my daughter. She loved Little Caesar.
I love when James Cagney punch you guys in the face, man.
Never, no one did it better.
You know, just a quick one. I love it.
But, and they looked for things to rally against, and, you know, they didn't like horror movies. You know, in the 50s, it was like the comic books. They didn't like the comic books.
Right.
Kids that read comic books were going to turn into
delinquents. It'll always go
And this movie, when news about this movie began to circulate, that just, it gave everybody a lightning rod.
Listen, from Germany, it seems like a movie's freak, Todd Browning, the manager has been counted. Yeah, you know, blacklisted from the movie theater.
The old newsreels or whatever.
You know,
But yeah, that's part of it too. So it just kind of got lost after that and rediscovered, and I hope you rediscover it too.
Yeah, hey, I hope that somehow this lost footage comes up somewhere. But
I think
it probably
it's gone, but
again.
I would love to see it. And I'm sure if it ever gets found, we'll hear about it. So.
Okay, man, I think this was one of our most informative podcasts, that's for sure.
It actually went half an hour longer than the movie, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
That's pretty bad when the podcast is longer than the movie.
Holy Moses. No, hey, I thought that was awesome. I learned a lot of information
from it,
man.
There's so many interesting people, even from the people who made it to the people who are in it.
Awesome,
there's so much interesting people, you know. And we could always talk about the movie and how weird the people looked. You know, I wanted to try to share what I knew about the people.
Yeah, and I'm glad
I did, man. I didn't know a lot about some of them. I knew some about a few of them, but like I said, I was just, you know, with these books, I was just, you know, exposed to them. You know, these are old. These have been in my parents' house my whole life.
Pretty much. I found Ted in a circus. I kind of pulled him out. I said, no, this is no place for him. You were 8.
He
couldn't speak or nothing. They were throwing oatmeal into him. And I pulled him out. I'm like,
saved my life.
And ever since, you know. But.
Yeah, and I'm holding him up now.
Oh, man. Okay, anyways, we're going to end it. This is we got about an hour and a half in this podcast, so. Hey, it's the end of the podcast. I should always say this at the beginning, but I'm not saying anything. Leave us feedback, man, on iTunes. Anyways,
Do your job.
Come on, man.
We're the number one horror podcast on the internet.
Don't crack me up.
If we keep saying it, they'll believe it.
Well, we're getting there. We got the best content.
So let it be written, so let it be done.
Yeah. Okay, man. Later on. Till next week.
Later.